This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station. And on this 12th day of March, the last day of standard time before we lose an hour's worth of sleep tonight.
Great.
Yeah, it's that time of year. Daylight saving time begins officially at 2 o'clock tomorrow morning. Yeah. Here's Tim Mize, Dave Jenkins.
Good morning, guys. T-Tote, the madness is alive and well.
Oh, my gosh. At all levels.
At all levels. Yeah. Buzzer beaters abound at the state tournament yesterday. The college basketball scene saw some crazy finishes. Yesterday, we'll get into all of it. Busy, busy day.
Plus, before we get into the sports side of things, different kind of competition, Scholastic Bowl sectionals today. At Carlinville, in the Class A sectionals, you have Carlinville, Carrollton, Modern Day, and West Glen all competing. And in the Class 2A, two local schools, Southwestern and Greenville, along with Carbondale and O'Fallon. So good luck to our local schools in the Scholastic Bowl competition today. Winners go to state next Friday at the Civic Center in Peoria.
Okay, so we've also got the 7th grade state volleyball tournament quarterfinals going on today at 3:30, Northwestern takes on Grayville, and then at 11:15, that's Class 1A at Pawnee. Yeah. In Class 2A at Decatur Lutheran this morning, it'll be Lincolnwood 23-2 against Christ the King at 21-0. That's an 11:15 first game start today. And then in Class 3A at Maroora Forsyth, it is Pena and Roxana. That is a 10 o'clock start this morning in the IESA 7th grade state volleyball tournament.
And just like basketball, if they win their quarterfinal game, they play a semifinal today as well. So good luck to our local teams there.
That's right. And some results from the IESA state wrestling tournament yesterday up at NIU. And at 65 pounds, Alex Powell of Litchfield lost in the prelims. At 75 pounds, Brady Davidson from Litchfield lost in the prelims. And at 167 pounds, Dylan Maxwell from Litchfield also lost in the prelims. But the wrestling program for Litchfield is still alive and there at the junior high level.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep.
If you need some pork patties today, the Lincolnwood baseball team's got that going from 11 until 2. That's at Home Oil in Raymond. And if you are in Farmersville, Wagner, and Raymond, they'll deliver to businesses there.
By the way, where do you think they got those pork patties? Paris
yes,
Frozen Foods.
Paris, yes.
Yeah, how about that?
Can't go wrong there.
No.
Can't go wrong there.
We'll have radar weather with Paris Frozen Foods in a moment here.
And if you like basketball, you just can't go wrong with this time of the year.
And we haven't even started the NCAA tournament.
Selection Sunday's tomorrow.
Yeah.
But the state tournament is living up to the billing that it has built over the years. In the Class 1A state semifinals yesterday, Leroy beat Liberty 48-32. And then Chicago Leo takes down Woodlawn with 2 seconds left. Jameel Green hits the game winner as Leo wins 46-45.
What a finish that was. And that was nothing.
Wasn't the best finish of the day.
It wasn't the best finish of the day last night. After 10 o'clock last night, the Class 2A second semifinal round game finally wrapped up. And, what a finish that was.
In the first semi in Class 2A, St. Joe Ogden beat Bree Central 60-48. And then the game Terry is alluding to. T, I'll let you take over. Rockridge won the game by 2 over Hales.
They were down. Hales was down by, 6-8 points. And they put on a big run there at the end. Last minute, I think they outscored Rockridge 10-2 or something like that. And eventually took the lead with about 5 seconds to go in the game. Rockridge down by a point, inbounds the ball with 5 seconds to go. The kid with the ball falls down, somehow gets the pass over to this Frakes kid.
Carson Frakes,
who had a terrific night, by the way, before this even took place. He's 60 feet away from the basket. He heaves a shot before the buzzer sounds. Boom. Three-pointer, game over. Rockridge into the state championship for the first time ever. They went and reviewed it, and it was close, but it was on time, and what a great finish. And the kid said, well, I practice this every night. He says, it's, you never know when you're going to have to launch a last-second shot. Not that the accuracy is going to be as great as other shots, but, when you take a few shots, just kind of horsing around in practice, you never know.
And we were talking about this before we came on air, but to me, that's become a much higher percentage shot over the years because kids actually do practice it now, whether it be high school, college, or pro. You're practicing these shots at the end of the games, and you see a lot more of them go down now than you seemingly used to.
Well, kids like to talk to themselves and pretend they're at the end of the ball game and try to win a game with a long shot from the backcourt, so that's.
It's not actually supposed to happen, though, in the state semifinal.
And I'm interested to I have no way of researching it. I don't have access to it. But I doubt very much that a team gets to the state tournament finals by virtue of winning like that in the 109-year history of the IHSA. I bet no team has done that. There have been buzzer beaters, long buzzer beaters.
Length of the floor
buzzer beaters, but nothing that sent a team into the state championship game, I suspect. I don't know.
The quote-unquote Hail Mary.
Oh, yeah.
Wins the game. Yeah. And it was such a beautiful play, too, because he had no time. When the ball got kicked out to him, he wasn't setting. It was all one motion, and shooting, and didn't even bank it in, pure.
And Hales Franciscan loses.
I tell you what, Hales Franciscan, they made somebody upstairs not very happy over the years. They got beat by the best underdog story in the history of the state, Staunton.
Yeah.
Get their title vacated because they boasted about their recruiting back in, 05, I think, not 5.
In front of the entire media pool.
Admit that. And then last night.
We had a great recruiting year.
Then you lose on a 60-footer at the horn in the state semifinal. Wow.
March Madness.
That's a brutal history. That would be the heartbreaking side of postseason play right there, those three occurrences for Hales Franciscan.
And, of course, they've won it a couple times, so they, you know, it kind of balances out, I guess.
They won it a couple times. They actually got to keep the title?
Yeah.
Actually get recognized for them?
There was one team that won the state championship, took the trophy back to the hotel and dropped it and broke it.
Oh, no.
And I don't remember. It might have been Hales Franciscan. I don't remember.
That's my thought every year, though, like when I'm watching the kids like get the trophy for the first time. Please don't drop it. Yeah. Oh, don't drop it.
Yeah.
That's happened to professionals and college athletes, too. The crystal ball, the college football championship trophy has been broken numerous times.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. You don't want to be the guy who did that.
The Stanley Cup, I believe, has been broken, too. They've because obviously the winning team, the players pass it around during the offseason.
That doesn't surprise me as much as the places that thing's been. The fact it's not at the bottom of an ocean by now is pretty amazing.
Well, it's only been around for 150 years, right? Something like that. Wow.
It's like a yard gnome. It has seen some things. It has been some places, traveled some miles.
How many
food has been prepared?
How many different beverages have been involved with that particular Stanley Cup?
Quite a few.
Yeah,
quite a few.
I bet so.
So today up at Carver Arena in Peoria in the 1A state tournament, the third place game has Liberty and Woodlawn at 12:15, and your 1A state championship this afternoon at 2 o'clock, Leroy and Chicago Leo. In Class 2A tonight, the third place game will have Breeze Central taking on Hales Franciscan out of Chicago at 6:30, and your 2A state championship game, St. Joe Ogden and Taylor Ridge Rock Ridge. That is scheduled for an 8:15 tip tonight.
Should be a pretty good day of basketball at Carver Arena, I would think. So
usually is.
And you had a chance to see...
I went down to Collinsville last night, checked out that 4A sectional final between Alton and East Moline United. Great ball game. United won it 50-48. Alton had the ball with 5 seconds to go, chance to win the ball game or force overtime. They went for the win. Didn't get it, and East Moline's moving on. But, oh, what an atmosphere. I don't know how many people were there. Collinsville's gym's big.
Yeah.
And it wasn't quite sold out, but, I mean, there were not many seats
available.
Well,
and United had to travel. How many miles did you say?
247.
Holy mackerel.
They had 5 student buses there. And just the atmosphere for those big school late postseason rounds is just – if you've never experienced a big school 3A, 4A postseason basketball game, you must do it.
And – I think the sectional championships a lot of times are as good of a game as you'll see in a state tournament. Crowd-wise, excitement-wise.
Because you're still in a high school venue, more localized. Mm-hmm. Yes, I totally agree.
There's just something special about a sectional title game. I don't know. I just like them.
Yeah. You're not alone.
Yeah,
not
alone. A lot of fun. Especially when you got a packed house and people standing in the aisles and you know, a trip to the Super is at stake.
That's what it was last night. Yeah. And I was watching the game and kind of looking around the stadium. And at one point, I was looking at the Alton bench. And, you know, they got like 4 or 5 assistant coaches on the bench. And there's like this old gentleman, like old school Alton fan, like wearing an Alton jumpsuit. All of a sudden, he just gets up, sitting right behind the Alton bench, walks down the aisle like 6 or 7 rows, taps one of the assistant coaches on the shoulder. The coach turns around. The guy says something to him for about 5 seconds. The assistant coach snaps his head back around. He was not happy.
Wow.
And the guy walked back up the stairs like, what in the heck is going on? Like, he must have saw something he didn't like. Went down, actually pointed it out to the coach during the game.
Wow.
Wow.
Like, never seen that one before.
Woo! Holy mackerel. I don't know.
So Alton, after they beat Edwardsville, which kind of in a way was their Super Bowl.
Sure.
It was a game they led by 8 in the fourth quarter, couldn't hold on. They fall 50-48 last night. That was really the only 4A game of interest. Just for pure basketball purposes, Simeon beat Harvey Thornton last night 88-75, and that's
surprise.
Who United gets to play.
Yeah.
What a surprise.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're Alton, don't feel too bad. If you would have won, you would have had to play Simeon. That would have been your prize.
There you go.
Although I don't know that they have anybody
doesn't make any difference.
I think they're 28-3 and ranked first in the state. So
well, that's pretty good.
They're okay.
That reputation thing kind of goes with them.
It's a down year nationally, though.
Yeah. It probably is a down year for Simeon, but that just speaks to how ridiculous they've been.
Yes.
Well, and again, here are ratings being taken on a national level by people who never see these teams.
Right. Yeah, you talk about how the state rankings are hard to get a gauge on. National rankings, I mean, come on, give me a break.
Yeah.
But now, in fairness, though, these bigger schools, they do play a national schedule, you know,
true.
So they will
That's
go
true.
Play games in Georgia, play games in different states. But you're right, though, to get an accurate judge on a national high school ranking, no. Yeah.
Does Simeon not play games in other states, too? I thought they played.
When they had Jabari Parker, I know that they do.
Yeah.
I don't know if they did this year. It may not be a normal occurrence for them. But when they know that they've got the players, they go and play a national schedule.
Yeah.
In Class 3A last night at Taylorville, Southeast beat Lanphier 62-57. Third meeting of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And two Springfield schools who don't really like each other.
Nope.
Do any of them like each other?
You know. We'll put it this way. Great rivalry.
There you go.
That's what it's all about.
At Bradley last night, Peoria Emanuel beat Bloomington 84-64. And at Highland, Althoff Catholic, 67-53 over Centurion. That's after Althoff scored 101 points in the sectional semifinal.
Wow.
They've been rolling all year.
Yeah, they have.
That's who Southeast will get is Althoff Catholic.
Yeah.
What a game that's going to be. That'll be at the Capitol Center, Prairie Capital Center in Springfield, 7 o'clock
Tuesday
coming
night.
Up on Tuesday night, Althoff and Southeast.
Ooh. So
might be a fun game.
Yeah.
Home game for Springfield then.
Kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
Although I've never liked having I've never been a fan of basketball at the Prairie Capital Convention Center.
Neither were the Illini.
Yeah, that's true. Nope. It just seems unbasketball-like to me.
I've never been to a basketball game.
I remember been there. I remember going up there for some shootouts and stuff. And
Did they play hockey there too?
No.
No.
No. They have other arenas.
Okay.
Springfield.
Also,
nothing like the old armory.
No, that's
back in the dark ages.
Good old school.
Yeah. the smelly, moldy armory with lights on the scoreboard all burned out.
Wasn't it great?
Oh.
Those were the days.
All I know is standing in line for tickets was very, very cold.
That's the thing, you know, like you think of March, like springtime's coming. There have been a lot of cold nights waiting in line for state basketball tournament tickets.
Well, this would have been in February for regionals way back when it was one class. So,
I remember waiting up in line one year in the late 90s to get tickets to the state tournament.
Like, at Peoria?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cold, windy, just miserable.
Well,
but it was worth it in the end.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Had a great crowd again yesterday at the state tournament at Peoria.
It's alive and well.
It is. And that March Madness experience next door. Oh my God, that thing is swamped. They're busy all the time. 10 o'clock at night, the thing is full.
Yeah, there's nothing like that.
Yeah.
Game ticket gets you into that puppy for free.
Yeah. Kids go crazy in that thing.
Absolutely. So. Adults go crazy.
Yeah, they do. There's just stuff
a good
for adults.
If you like basketball, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will turn our attention to the Carlinville Rotary Club All-Star Basketball game. We will do that following these messages.
Reminder for residents of Verdon, you're under a boil order until further notice. And a reminder that the Lincolnwood High School baseball team serving pork patties from 11 to 2 at Home Oil and Raymond.
Delicious.
That's lunch today for me.
Do they deliver out to the radio station? See, they're delivering to Farmers.
I don't know.
I'm going to be here till 1. I'm just saying.
Are you? Are you?
Just saying.
Well, never know, Tim. They do come to the back door and hit the buzzer.
Love the pork patties.
Oh, geez. Gosh. Addictive.
I tell you, what I don't like is the change into the time.
Yeah, that's kind of goofy.
It's outdated.
It really is. I tend to agree with you. I think it's goofy.
Whichever the one is, it gives us the extra hour of daylight at the end.
Fallback.
Whichever.
Well, daylight saving time moves the out, gives us the extra hour in the evening.
We should just stay there. Like, just keep it there.
Well, you know. personally, standard time is fine with me.
Just pick one.
Yeah, pick
just
one.
Give me one time and let's go.
Yeah,
because there's no good.
What's
reason
really
to have
confusing
it.
Is when you go through other states and certain counties observe it and other counties don't.
Yeah. Yes.
It's confusing as all.
Indiana does that. Some of Indiana's Eastern time, some of it isn't. Some of them recognize.
Arizona's the same way. I don't know that they recognize it either.
Which just proves that it's bogus.
Yeah. Well, there's like debate about the initial reason for it, you know, whether it was for wartime to give soldiers extra daylight, for farmers to give them extra daylight.
That is not true. That's probably the biggest misconception is that it was the farmers. The farmers actually
back in the day
hard.
Of Ben Franklin, yes, perhaps.
But, like back when this was coming in, like in the '40s, the farmers were actually some of the biggest opponents of it. Mm-hmm. And I know that I've heard my dad say that my grandpa said that one of the biggest reasons was it messed the animals up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if the humans are changing their time by an hour, you know, you're going to be up different.
Sure.
Everyone's a creature of habit.
That's true.
But that's true. It's all because of the farmer.
Kind of reminds me of a George Carlin thing. You know, it's 6 o'clock in New York, 5 o'clock in Chicago, and 2:30 in Poughkeepsie.
So true.
You know what? Huh?
Makes perfect sense.
Okay, whatever. I don't know. I don't think that was exactly the words, but
close enough.
Only George Carlin could pull it off.
There's a couple of the George Carlin things, but you can't really say them here.
That's true.
Now.
That's true. That's for a discussion off the air.
That's exactly right. There was one hanging up around here sometime about Santa Claus, but
yeah.
I always liked this hippy dippy weatherman too. That was always pretty good.
So. He was a classic.
Yeah, he was.
Hey, we'll have the Cardinals today playing the Astros 11:45 on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. They play the Nationals tomorrow, live coverage same time, 11:45. Yeah.
They don't play the Marlins this weekend.
How about that?
But they're coming up.
They've played them three times already.
Yeah, don't worry. They've got more Marlins games.
They've got four more games against them. Yeah.
I was worried.
Yeah. They're what, 1-2 against them so far?
I couldn't tell you.
I don't know either. No, I don't know. Standings don't matter in spring.
Yeah. No, they do not.
No.
Unless you're a perennial loser, in which case, yay.
Do they actually give out an award for like having the best record in spring training?
I hope not.
I know.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I don't think anybody cares about.
The AP store, we got a little blurb this morning about how many bases the Cardinals have stolen.
No.
They lead the major leagues in spring training and stolen. I'm going, that means nothing because they're not going to steal in the regular season.
Well, that's because that's all their prospects that are really fast.
It's the young guys that can run.
Magnera Sierra, who's about 4 years away from being in the big leagues.
We've seen that the last few years, too, with the Cardinals, though, where they really have a lot of stolen bases in spring and then obviously does not and will not, cannot translate to the major league club. Well, baseball season's right around the corner. The basketball season, of course, getting set to wrap up. The 1A, 2A state finals are today. The 3A, 4A state tournament is a week from yesterday, and that means the Carlinville Rotary All-Star basketball game is right around the corner, and the rosters are set. The event will come up on March 20th, of course. It'll be at the Big House on West Main in Carlinville, and lots of local flavor here on this team.
And by the way, great job by the Rotary Club putting this on every year, and this is one of their fundraisers, and the Carlinville Rotary Club does so many things for the community. So if you can get over there, partake in it, that's great.
We will start with the girls' rosters here. We'll begin with the West squad. You've got Marley Schmidt of Carlinville, Darcy Brandon and Destin Powell, along with McKendra Jennings of North Green, Carly Green, Maddie Greeling, Aaron Lopshire, and Kelsey Rhodes of Southwestern. That could be a team in and of itself.
Oh, geez, right there, yeah.
Lydia Wall and Sydney White of South County.
Members of the other team going, don't put me out there when they're out there, okay?
Yes. I imagine there'll be a period where they're all in the same four at the same time as well. That'll be pretty cool. You've got Bailey Jarman and Jessica Robbins from Gillespie, and then Elizabeth Hall from Greenfield Northwestern, and Steve Woolley will be coaching the West All-Stars.
Cool.
On the east side, Rob Corso will be the head coach, of course, from Litchfield High School. And on the east squad, you've got Emma Brown of Auburn, Lindsay Storm, Maddie Reck, and Carly Cameron from Hillsboro.
That's a pretty good group of players right there,
that
too.
That will work. Anna Tomach and Abby Frericks, along with Helen Vargo from Litchfield.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Carmen Cox and Autumn Bulliard, along with Abby Rupert of Nokomis, Brianna Wade, Brianna Van Cleef, and Madison Fundeman of Greenville. And then Rihanna Vaughn of Pena.
You know, the bad thing about it is it's still basketball season, but it's been a while since, you know, most of these kids have played basketball. That's the sad thing about it. But it's still
for the girls.
Yeah, for the girls. Yeah, the girls have been. It's been a month. You know, months for most of them. By the time this game gets played,
that's right. Of course, the game coming up on March 20th at Carlinville High School, 14th annual.
Yeah,
Carlinville Rotary Club All-Star Basketball Game. The boys' team on the West squad. You got Joe Bates and Xavier Dunlap of Carlinville. From Gillespie, you've got Colin Tiemann, Eli Fox, and Evan Price. Zach Ridenour and Drake Canlican of Jersey Community. Zach Seymour from Southwestern. You've got Luke Gillingham and Cole Brandon of Carrollton. Trace Gentry of Roxana. Chase Bushnell from North Green. Austin Bishop and Connor Shade from Greenfield Northwestern. And then Blake Marks from Wood River with Casey Schultes as the head coach from Gillespie of the West All-Star.
Those guys will put some points on the board.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Marks had, what, I think 51 in his last high school game.
Something like that.
Almost broke the record at the holiday tournament for Carlinville.
Yeah.
It was real close. I don't remember how close. I mean, he was, like, within buckets.
Mm-hmm.
The E squad for the boys has Brennan White and Cooper Etter from North Mac, Corey Scroggins and Austin Goosewell of Staunton, Garrett Gillette and Jordan Hampton of Pawnee, Connor Simmons, Cooper Scharf, and Josh Frankie from Litchfield, Brian Graham and A.J. Thomas from Lincolnwood, and then David Holden from Greenville, along with Drew Logan, the head coach from Litchfield of the East All-Stars.
That's a pretty good ball, man.
That'll work.
Yeah. Wow.
That will be good.
It'll be a good game, good
matchup.
Right.
March the 20th.
Yeah. Serving some food, I think, as
always
well.
Serving food.
Yeah.
I was looking for the start time here.
Not there?
It's there.
6:15.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. 3-point shootout at 6:15. Dunk contest, 6:45.
Dunk contest.
No, sorry. All-Star game starts at 6:45. Dunk contest, halftime of the boys' game.
Okay.
And, you know, I really wish they wouldn't have taken away the dunk contest from the state tournament.
Yeah.
The four-class system ruined it because the 1A dunkers were not good. Let's just be honest. They were not. They were not. But
you're right.
They shouldn't have affected the 3A and 4A. You could have still had it. You know, just put it all on that weekend.
Sure.
Just have it one big group of dunkers. But I always loved the dunk contest in the state tournament. Yeah. That was always fantastic. That was one of the big draws to me of going to the AA state tournament back in the day was seeing that competition.
Yeah. Oh. Who knows? They may bring it back.
They might. Remember we were up there a few years ago, Terry,
and
when Eric Hobby was up there for Vandalia.
Yeah. I was just going to say Eric Hobby is the one that just –
But I think we were up there for Nokomis. So we were up there on Thursday and watched all the prelims.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he, to use a cheesy term, rocked the house is what I was going to say. I think he threw it off the side of the backboard into a windmill. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. He brought the fans to their feet.
A few times.
Yeah. It was good.
That's right. Good stuff. I remember he went on to play college, of course, from Vandalia. I don't remember where he went and played his college ball now.
That wasn't that long ago, was it?
It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, I think we were.
But when you've been doing it as long as I have, Dave, it kind of blends in.
Well, I think I remember who you're talking about because I think we were in high school together. Obviously not at the same school, but I remember him
that
coming
era.
To, coming to, yeah, that era. Oh, okay. Coming to play at Litchfield.
He was a show.
Yeah, he was. Heck of an athlete.
Big time.
Yeah.
We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We will come back with more following these messages.
Spring forward tonight as daylight saving time officially begins at 2 o'clock tomorrow morning, so we end up losing an hour's worth of sleep, but we gain that extra hour of daylight.
That's good.
Evening, which is okay.
That's fine.
Yeah. But it takes me about a month to get used to the change in time.
Well, they've got studies out. I think tonight will be, it's like the lowest percentage of like home invasions. Like robberies are way down tonight.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, go figure.
Have less hour, less hour to do it,
exactly,
I guess.
Exactly right. But I guess, you know, like
productivity. Either that or they're watching the basketball tournament.
That could be. Productivity at work slides. It's like the college basketball tournament, those Thursdays and Fridays. Getting done.
No.
Hit the boss button.
What do you mean Thursday, Friday? It's the bracket Monday that you're filling out brackets.
That's true.
You know, no work gets done.
I'm like ineffective all week getting stuff ready.
Well, Dave, are you the bracket meister here?
I am.
Again?
I'm going to have to get your bracket before you go out to Vegas.
Oh, you'll have my bracket. Okay. Don't you worry.
Right.
Don't you worry one bit. My bracket will be in plenty of time.
All right.
Plenty of time. Tell you what, the Illini gave us a brief fleeting moment of hope that they might actually run the table potentially.
And, of course, that's when they laid an egg.
And yeah, exactly. When Indiana lost to the Buzz, I thought, well, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Illini took the floor.
They had a 6-5 lead.
Well, it was 26-21. About halfway through, maybe slightly more than halfway through the first half, you know, they're hanging tough down five, and then it Purdue, got away from them quickly.
I read on Twitter Purdue went on a 41-9 run.
It was brutal. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of the problems that Illinois had throughout the year came to the surface in that game. They couldn't make a shot.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they shot the ball so well those first two wins over Minnesota and then the upset of Iowa, but they did not shoot the ball well yesterday.
Terry brought up a good point yesterday. He wondered if they were just gassed because they have played. I mean, this was the third game in 3 days. Plus, they weren't deep to begin with because of all the injuries.
And it was Purdue's first game. Yeah. These monster conference tournaments now, if you finish in the top four, you get a double bye.
Double bye.
And Iowa,
and that almost seems like it's unfair.
Yeah.
In some ways it is.
It is.
Iowa had actually been struggling coming into the tournament, which is another reason why Illinois could have beat them.
Oh, it was great to see. For as bad as Illinois was this year, it was great to see him just smash Iowa right into the ground of the conference tournament. That was
what
wonderful.
Is it about Iowa?
I don't know, but
when
I don't
Iowa
like
loses,
it.
It's great, isn't
it's
it?
Fabulous. Just absolutely fabulous. So that was nice. So the season as a whole was not good, but it seemed like once the new Illinois AD gave John Gross that vote of confidence, it flipped some switch because they played harder.
Yeah, they did.
And, you know, it's human nature. A lot of them maybe thought, hey, he's not going to be back next year, so not going to matter. Then I was, he is going to be back next year. I want my minutes next year. I better pick it up on the defensive end a little bit.
Well, and, you know, with the hiring of Lovie Smith, do you think the Illini maybe have taken a step in the right direction here?
I think so.
Yeah. With their new AD?
Looks like it.
You got to like the AD hire because he's from the school, from the university, graduated there, and you can't be anything but impressed with the move that he made so far.
And he went out, and
that's the biggest hire that school has had maybe ever.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's instant credibility on a national level that they have not had. They didn't even get that type of credibility with the Zook hire.
True.
You know, Zook was big time coming from college and all that, but he had been run out of Florida, wasn't real popular.
And he was more
there.
Known as basically a recruiter, a great recruiter, and not necessarily a great on-the-field coach.
And that kind of proved itself to be true over his time with Illinois. But Lovie Smith, I mean, that dude's a heck of a football coach. Yeah. And recruiting, I've heard people say, well, he's never done it. He's going to recruit himself. He's Lovie Smith.
He's Lovie Smith.
He coached the Bears.
Well, and there was rumor that Mike Sherman might join his staff as the offensive coordinator. Of course, he's been at Texas A&M as the offensive coordinator. Mm. He's the former Packers head coach. He coached Brett Favre for, 6, 7 years, something like that. So that'd be a lot of credibility.
The key to me now for Illinois football is to manage expectations.
True.
You are not Alabama overnight. Like, I've actually heard a few alumni talk about they expect to have 10 wins in 3 years. Mm. Come on. That's not realistic.
Well,
it kind of is given the division that they play in.
But they stink. They've always stunk.
Yeah, but I mean, Rutgers and Maryland aren't really.
But first, you get it. You know, the recruiting thing has to kick in, and it's going to take a few years to get Lovie's guys in there.
But that's the problem with the modern college athletics is instant gratification.
Yeah,
like he signed a 6-year contract.
He's going to have a long leash though, too.
Oh, he absolutely is.
Yeah,
but if the fan base gets restless. Well, we haven't won 10 games yet. He's been there for a hot minute. Calm down.
There are people more worried about him leaving than getting fired, probably.
I don't think you're going to have to worry about that. I think Lovie Smith is probably pretty happy where he is, to be honest with you. I think they're paying him well. He's at a program that he can build himself.
He spent a lot of time at Illinois, just in Illinois, coaching the Bears and working with the greatest show on turf in St.
That's
Louis.
That's true.
And he saw the ugly side of the NFL. He shouldn't have got fired from Chicago.
No.
You know, he was doing a good job there.
He's been fired unjustly twice.
Exactly my point. So now he's back in the college ranks where he has complete control, gets to handpick his players. He's going to have unquestioned authority from top to bottom of the entire program. We saw kind of, not that Lovie Smith is anything like Nick Saban.
Sure.
But we saw Nick Saban when he got into the NFL and just all the different ancillary things that are involved in that. He gets back to college, complete control.
Right.
Tell you what, is
it's
there
his program.
Around your program.
He runs it.
Is there?
It's Lovie Smith's program. Nobody else's.
I know the SEC is what it is, and it has been what it has been. But is there a conference in the nation with three bigger name coaches than the Big Ten right now?
Well,
with Urban Meyer, Jim Harbaugh, and Lovie Smith,
probably not.
Probably
I
not.
Don't think the SEC even has that.
Realistically, for the Illini, a couple games above 500 next year would be a terrific season. I think
if they made a bowl game next year, I think that'd be fantastic.
Yeah. It would be. And it's likely with as weak as the division they play in.
And to me, the good example for Illinois fans is look at Missouri and what they did with Gary Pinkel. Yeah. However many years ago that they hired Gary Pinkel, you know, they were wanting that instant success, and it wasn't there early.
Right.
You know, a lot of troublesome spots early in his career. Did they fire him? No.
No.
They kept him on because they liked what he was doing. He was building the program. Then eventually they rose. They got to the number one ranking in the country. They won a couple of SEC division championships. So, I mean, that's the formula. You got to be patient, especially with these college football coaches. When you've been as bad as Illinois, I mean, they talk about Red Grange.
And Dick Butkus.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
This
is a whole new era now.
Yeah. Like, to me, it could take Lovie Smith a full decade to get it not just turned around, but to where it's sustainable and competing consistently.
My question is, where do you want the program to be in 10 years? I think that's the overriding question, because if you want it to be one of the top programs, not only in the conference, but maybe even in the country, you've got to have consistency at the coaching. At the head coach. And you know, if you're not going to give him time to do his thing, you probably should not have hired him.
I tell you, the timing couldn't be better, not because they've been bad for so long, but just because of what's going on at Mizzou with their coaching change, obviously them hiring from within. There's a lot of good football players in the St. Louis area. There now, Illinois is going to have the edge in St. Louis from a recruiting standpoint just because of all the turmoil that's going on at the school at Mizzou. So, because they've lost, like, a lot of potential students over the last, 9 months with the scandal, if you want to call it that, that's been going on there, just the issues that they've been having.
And Lovie Smith has said Chicago and St. Louis, those are the two premier focuses for recruiting. I mean, it's amazing. We all know about the talents in Chicago. I mean, just a vast amount of skilled players. But St. Louis has really turned into a hotbed for basketball and for football here recently.
It has. I mean, you remember what Ezekiel Elliott did on the national stage for Ohio State just last year and what he did this season. He went to John Burroughs High School in St. Louis. So the talent is there. They just got to be able to get it. He almost went to Mizzou, but then Urban Meyer said, "Hey, I'm Urban Meyer. Come play for the Buckeyes." All right.
Yeah, if you wind up and you're a top-level recruit now in the state of Illinois, you're probably going to wind up with Lovie Smith, Jim Harbaugh, and Urban Meyer all sitting on your sofa at some point.
Yeah.
How do you choose between that? You can't really make a wrong choice in that instance.
I don't know.
Well, what kind of impression do you want to make as a player?
Right.
Yeah, it's true. You know what else is fantastic is those are three huge college rivalries. Ohio State, Illinois, Ohio State, Michigan, Illinois, Michigan. I mean, those are all really, really big college rivalries.
Are they?
To those schools. They are. They're huge.
Ohio State considers Illinois a rival?
Believe it or not, they're pretty big rivals among the students. They may not be known to the national media, but the students know the rivalries there. There's the Illabuck Trophy for the reason.
Oh, well, the Illabuck Trophy.
Of course.
The Illabuck Trophy.
The Illabuck Trophy.
They started out with a real turtle. They chose the turtle because of its lifespan, and 2 years later it was dead. So they went to a wooden turtle. This is true.
That has to be true. You couldn't make that up.
You can't make that stuff up.
Yeah.
They picked the sickly turtle.
Yep. They chose the turtle because of its longevity, and 2 years later it was dead.
That's awesome.
What creek?
Sad, but awesome.
What creek did they get that turtle out
of? I don't know.
Goodness gracious.
Oh my gosh.
So now it's a wooden turtle that gets passed around.
Okay.
Sure, it's been
and they make fun of me for watching Star Trek. Okay.
It's been a one-sided rivalry for the last decade or two or three. But
or the whole history?
Not
since
really.
Since Red Grange graduated?
Yeah. It was even for a time. It's just been a while. Illinois had their wins scattered around
they
there.
They are scattered. One final point on the Illini.
Yeah.
With the AD Josh Whitman, the fact that he retained John Gross, that is encouraging to me because that tells me he's not just going in there and just getting rid of just cleaning house. You know, he's observing, making decisions on the program. Okay, I'm a little concerned about the football program, but he likes the direction that John Gross has the basketball program going. And remember, John Gross has been close. He's been the runner-up here 2 or 3 years running on one of the top players in the country. And he's, again, in the top running. It's down to Illinois and Carolina for one of the best players in the state.
Yeah. And he's had to deal with injuries. Just a magnitude of injuries the last couple of years. It's unbelievable.
And Whitman was quoted as saying they basically had to make the move now.
Mm-hmm.
A guy like Lovie Smith, and Lovie Smith in particular, was not going to be there at the end of this football season if they would have kept Bill Cubitt on. He wasn't going to be there. So hats off to Illinois for making the big move. And a lot of times you'll see a coach get fired, and then what's your plan? Well, we're going to hire a committee, and we're going to get together.
A blue ribbon panel.
Right. Yes. But basically, as soon as Cubitt was fired, they had it in the pipeline that Lovie Smith was going to be
hired. Well,
I
think that was the plan. I think that was, we're keeping Cubitt unless we can get Lovie.
Exactly.
It all happened really – it happened over a weekend, last weekend. I mean, it was bing, bang, boom. Lovie Smith is an Illini.
Excitement.
It is excitement. There's never been a more exciting time for Illini football fans.
But you know how it goes, though. That will turn quickly. They start off 0-3 next year, people will be agitated.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
I guess that's the beauty of sports,
that
though,
is,
you know.
Yeah. That's why we keep going back.
Fan is short for fanatical.
Mm-hmm.
We need a break on Sports Saturday. We're back with more in a moment.
And we're back on Sports Saturday here on this Saturday, March the 12th. I just kind of pointed at you. I guess you weren't paying attention.
I wasn't looking to you.
That's all right. That's all right.
I had a picture to show him.
Ah, sharing pictures. Okay.
It was more about what was written on it than anything else.
This is true.
Yeah.
A comment.
It was
a commentary pick.
Oh, okay.
If you will.
It was about Rahm Emanuel. So you can go ahead and come up with your own description from there.
It cost me 2 dozen apron sticks.
That's right.
That's neither here nor there.
That's a different story.
That's a totally different story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we talked about the buzzer beaters that we had at the state tournament yesterday, but college basketball also had some crazy buzzer beaters, or almost buzzer beaters yesterday. UConn and Cincinnati played 4 overtimes yesterday, and it looked like it was only going to be a standard ho-hum 3 overtime game.
Yeah.
When Cincinnati took the lead with 0.8 of a second left, this kid drills a 3-pointer well beyond the line. So they're up 3 with 0.8 left. Cincinnati has a timeout, chooses not to call it so they don't set their defense. 3 of the 5 Cincinnati players, they're just hugging each other in front of the scorer's table because they think they've won. UConn inbounds the ball. Dude lets it fly from the other free throw line, banked it in. 4th overtime.
Oh, wow.
And UConn won in that 4th overtime.
So basically they played a whole another half.
A whole other half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A game and a half. Wow.
I mean, these guys just won the national championship 2 years ago. You gotta play defense.
I mean, it's still UConn. I mean,
right.
But yeah, I mean, it was just terrible mismanagement at the end. One, you should have called timeout and set your defense with 0.8 of a second left. But if you're not going to do that, at least make sure the players on the floor aren't celebrating, hugging each other. And then, so, like, the camera angle on the far end, it was kind of funny. Like, they had the camera on the Cincinnati kids celebrating and all smiling. And then you can see their heads raise up, and the camera follows the ball, and it goes in. And the look on their face was just almost complete disbelief and shock. Like, that really just happened?
Yeah.
And that might not even have been the craziest ending of the day in college basketball yesterday. In the Big 12 tournament last night, West Virginia's up by 2 on Oklahoma. And Buddy Hield, who's probably going to be the college player of the year, takes the inbounds pass with 1.8 seconds left, length of the floor, gets the midcourt, fires it, nails it, into the crowd he goes. He's celebrating, having a great time. They review it about 1/10 of a second after the horn.
Oh, no.
I mean,
sorry.
It was on his fingertip.
Wow.
So close. And it's a beautiful thing. And I've heard people say before that they would like to see college basketball adopt the NBA rule where he can move the ball to half court. I could not disagree more.
No.
That because this is what makes March Madness. You saw it last night in the Rock Ridge game against Hales Franciscan.
Mm-hmm.
Those 2 instances right there. The length of the floor beyond half-court buzzer beater to potentially win a game. There's nothing like that.
So what's next? 3 to make 2 on free throws? Remember that old rule?
No.
You don't remember that?
No.
In the NBA, free throw shooting was bad even back in my younger days. They used to give you 3 shots to make 2 free throws.
Yeah. No.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. In professional basketball.
In professional basketball. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 3 to make 2.
Well, that's just terrible.
Didn't last very long. But,
I bet not.
But you got to be kidding me.
They could almost bring that back for certain players.
It's probably 10 to make 2.
Yeah.
I was watching a game the other day, a college game, and a kid airballed the free throw. And, I mean, he missed it wide left. Like, wide left. But they had, like, the camera they had on top of the backboard for the foul shot. So as soon as the ball left the kid's hand, he got, like, this vinegar face because he knew it was about to happen. And it just took, like, this hard turn. He just wound up left
through
of the rim.
Ball, huh?
Yeah.
Well, there's a player in last year's tournament. I don't remember who it was or who he played for. But he had, you know, his motion was, like, kind of to throw it up there and put a lot of spin on it. side spin like a curveball.
I think it was Louisville. I think they had a guy who was shooting underhand.
Yeah, I think there was that too.
There was somebody, one of the major teams had a kid who was such a bad foul shooter, he went underhand.
That's not illegal.
More people should do it.
Well, the greatest free throw shooter in the history of professional basketball, Rick Barry, shot everything underhand.
That's right.
And I remember nobody's going to touch his record.
No. I remember he tried to get convince Shaq back in the day that he should do it, but lose like street cred if you do that.
Well, you'll look bad doing it because, you know, really trying to get it in there and jumping over the free throw.
Because you look so good shooting those foul shots at a 37% clip. That looks great. Oh. In fairness to Shaq, though, him shooting a free throw on a 10-foot rim would be like trying to make free throws with a volleyball on about a 9-foot rim or maybe a little bit lower.
8-foot rim.
Not mm-hmm. real easy.
Yeah. It was more of a laser beam kind of thing with him. So maybe he should have tried to bank them all in. Seriously.
Nothing could
have hurt. The backboard companies would have liked that.
Yeah.
Nothing could have hurt. I mean, it was already bad enough.
Yeah, what's the percentage going to do? Go down?
Yeah. There's a reason they call it Hack-A-Shack.
That's right. Still to this day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now the NBA's talking about wanting to change that rule. Come on.
To what?
To where it'd be like a flagrant foul, like if you fouled someone intentionally away from the ball to put him with the foul line.
Discourage.
Don't they already have a rule that can take care of
like
that?
In the last 2 minutes, I think you can't do it.
Oh. Okay.
It's fundamental basketball. You know? It's like if you've got, like in baseball, if you've got someone, like a third baseman who can't field the bunt, drop it down all day.
Yeah.
You don't outlaw the bunt. You either get a third baseman who can field the bunt or just figure out a way to get around it.
Yeah.
Could see a lot of that with Holiday at first.
Yeah. It's like, to me, that's – let's not talk about that again, please. I had nightmares all week long talking about Matt Holiday at first base. And now we learn that Stephen Piscotty, he's done working at first base. He doesn't need to work at first base. But Holiday's going to continue.
He may not need to work at first base. He may know how to
– because he can already do it.
Yeah, because he can already do it.
I think he'd be just fine.
He didn't embarrass himself last year.
No, and anything he did.
See, I didn't realize how poor people actually could play first base until I saw professional baseball players could play first base until I saw Pedro Alvarez last season. It's like that guy can't even catch a throw from third base.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
Yeah.
That wasn't good. And he's finally been signed. He's a member of the Baltimore Orioles, and you got Pedro Alvarez and Chris Davis in the same lineup.
Lots of flies are gonna die.
Lots of
Well, the fans in the front row got a nice breeze.
Yeah, that's
during the
right.
game.
I mean, what will be the over-under on the combined strikeouts for them?
Well, they're only going to use two bats the whole year.
That's right.
Let's see. I'll say 380.
380.
Because I don't think both of them will get to 200 strikeouts because there still only have been 7 instances in history of 200 strikeouts or more.
That's so many.
It is, so but many. Mark Reynolds has 3 of them.
Oh, boy.
So. Really only, what, five players have ever struck out 200 times or more. So I'll say about 380.
I'm still inclined to take the over, I feel like.
Are you?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, think about Pedro Alvarez. We've joked about this before. He was a Cardinal killer. He was an absolute Cardinal killer.
Saved his career.
A few years ago, he was on his way to the minor leagues, and then they played like the Cardinals for like a week straight, and he crushed a home run every single day, but I wonder what his numbers would be if he took out his games against the Cardinals.
You could figure that out.
He don't get to play the Cardinals anymore out in Baltimore. They're not on the schedule every year.
He did have 2013 where he was an all-star, where he had a really good year against everybody else as well, where it wasn't just the Cardinals he was killing.
No, but I think he had a good first half against the Cardinals.
He did hit the Cardinals well, but
I think the second half of the season he really went downhill, I think.
Yeah.
Was the number one overall pick?
Yeah. Yeah. Part of that run but the Pirates had of choosing number one.
Watching him catch a ball was certainly an interesting endeavor.
Just tell all the other infielders, whatever you do, don't throw it in the dirt.
And see, that's the one saving grace if they're going to have Holiday work at first base. At least he's working with Jose Oquendo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know he'll be better than he would have been if Oquendo wasn't working with him.
Sure.
Still terrifies me, though. They play the Astros today live at 11:45 a.m., 15:40, and FM 106.9. And I think all 5 of their starters now have made their spring appearances.
Yes.
Martinez have both appeared. Waka's appeared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have.
Waino's been out there.
Yeah.
Martinez was the last one to make his. Yeah. I think
he pitched two innings.
Yesterday. Healthy, right
now.
That's
all that matters.
Yeah,
that's got to be the mantra for the Cardinals this year. Yeah. Health.
Yeah. Yadi batted once yesterday. Didn't swing. Took three pitches.
And of course, you know they got him into that spring training game last week, and first inning tag play at the plate.
Yep.
Of course, the ball will find
it
you.
It was identical to the play he got hurt on last year.
Oh goodness. Fingers crossed, breath holding for Yadi this year. Yes. For me personally.
Yeah.
Peralta's out till June at the soonest since.
Oh no, that means
last.
That means All-Star game.
Yeah. It probably is.
The question, see, I hope Aledmys Diaz can win that job outright. Because if he can win the job at short, then you've still got Jerko coming off the bench. That's why you signed him. That's where his value is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got some options.
Got some options. But yeah. Diaz's first game went 4-4.
And the bench
is good.
Going to be pretty darn good this year, I think.
Yeah, the bench and the bullpen are fantastic right now.
Yeah.
And you've got the potential with the everyday players. The talent is there, just will they be able to do it consistently
and stay healthy
with Piscotty and Grichuk? Can Grichuk stay healthy?
And Pham.
And can Piscotty stay as consistent as he was last year in the big leagues? That's tough. That's a tough chore.
Grichuk will get out on him.
Yeah. Grichuk and Pham are going to be the two biggest health concerns the Cardinals have. Because, I mean, you're going to need one of them to stay healthy, and they are both very frail.
This is true. And Holiday's not any younger.
No.
He's already missed time this spring with lower back stiffness.
Yeah.
So, you know, scooping those balls out of dirt, that'll help that. Forget letting him stand out in left field and just be a lump out there and not have to move. Let's get him on the move every single pitch.
Maybe
of the
that's
game.
What he needs, though, to stay active. Because if he were just standing out in left field, he'd get stiff.
He could do some Pilates. They've got a Pilates class. Did you see this?
No, I didn't.
The Cardinals, they've got a Pilates class down in Jupiter.
Probably not a bad idea.
Yeah.
No, that's what they said. Yeah. They were trying to find out new ways to try to keep the guys healthy, and apparently it's quite popular.
Well, good.
And they're thinking about probably continuing it through the regular season.
Well, you know, keep everybody stretched out.
Got to be limber.
Use that in the minors, too.
Couldn't hurt.
Yeah. They got a lot
less
of good
weights,
young players.
More Pilates.
Well, that was Grichuk's problem.
Yeah.
He was trying too hard in the weight room. That was what was causing his injuries.
Haven't we heard for years about how people have complained about baseball players doing the weights and weightlifting too much?
And the way – I could be wrong about this, but the way I've always understood it is weightlifting really didn't become a big baseball thing until the steroids.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you talk to the old-time ball players, you never hear them about lifting weight. It was all about, you know, being limber, flexibility, those types of things. But, you know, mid-'80s, early 80s, things changed a little
bit.
And
when it comes to hitting, you know, bat speeds – The important thing there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how big you are, but that bat's getting through the zone in a hurry.
Yeah.
Power, power, power.
Yeah.
So. Cardinals today, 11:45 against the Astros on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. Your state championship games today at Carver Arena in Peoria. Leroy and Chicago Leo for the 1A title. And your 2A championship game tonight, St. Joe Ogden and Rock Ridge from Taylor Ridge. That's an 8:15 tip. Tonight. Sports Saturday is done for T-Tote David Jenkins. I am Tim Mize here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on. And remember, pork patty sale to benefit the Lincolnwood baseball team, 11-2 at Home Oil in Raymond. Have a great weekend, everybody.